Hope everybody stayed safe in the storms last night and or this morning. Thank God for his safety and his love for each one of us. Let's pray, and then we will go into Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Father, we come to you today with hearts that appreciate you for your love and for your mercy being renewed daily. God, I thank you that you're good all by yourself, that you're the good, good Father, that you love us and you take care of us. I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that your love is never ending. I thank you, God, that your grace is more than sufficient. Lord, this morning I pray that you will open up our understandings, open up our spirits so that we can receive a word from you that will help change us, that will help motivate us, that will help inspire us to love each other like you love the church. God, we consider these things done. We believe that you are who you say. We believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we could have eternity with you. We pray these things by faith, and we pray them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25, extremely familiar story. People will call it the story of the Good Samaritan. And earlier this morning, God gave me a different vantage point that I'd like to talk about today. But we'll start at Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And the Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What's your reading of it?'" Verse 27. "So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Verse 30. "Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead.'" Verse 31. "Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side." Verse 33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him," or he had compassion. The first thing I want to take from this story is that this man that was going down to Jericho, the Bible says that he was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was a certain man, meaning he was a man on purpose. He was a peculiar man. But this man did nothing, absolutely nothing, to deserve the punishment that was coming his way. He didn't, the Bible doesn't say he stole from other people. The Bible doesn't say he was a wicked man. It says he was a certain man, and he was coming from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And when he was taking that journey, then some robbers and some thieves stole from him, took what he had. And if that wasn't enough, the Bible says that they beat him to the point where he was pretty much half dead. You have one man passed by that was a priest that would represent pastors, prophets, people like that nowadays. You have a Levite that would represent pretty much the same thing, just different people coming his way. And when they saw his adversity, when they saw his pain, his struggle, when they knew that there would be no reward for them helping out, they simply went to the other side of the road. Brothers and sisters, today, I want you to know that you and I serve a God that will never walk away from your pain. He'll never walk away from your embarrassment. He'll never walk away from you losing it all. On the contrary, you and I serve a God that when we're in those moments of being half dead, so to speak, that you and I serve a God that will be there right on time every single time. The Bible says in verse 33 that when the Samaritan came down, he saw this man and he went to him. Verse 34, "So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him." Verse 35, "On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? What I want to focus on today is we focus so many times on this Samaritan that came and did God's work. He showed love. He showed mercy. Absolutely all these things. But earlier this morning when I was reading the story and I was talking to God, is I never thought about the man that was robbed. I never thought about that man when he was coming down minding his own business from Jerusalem to Jericho. What happened after the struggle? You see, a lot of us can testify that God did something good for us, that God saved us in our iniquity, or God saved us in our pain, and God rescued us, and maybe we've been saved, and maybe we've been serving God for quite so many years now. But sometimes you and I are able to experience the power and the goodness of God, but sometimes we just can't let go of certain pains. This man that was thrown into the ditch, that was left half dead, I wonder, next time he saw a Levite, or next time he saw a priest, what was his attitude towards them? You see, I believe it was one of two things. I believe this man that was rescued by the Good Samaritan either hated Levites, or either hated priests, and hated everybody that he believed was like those people that passed him by, or he absolutely loved them. Today, what I want to focus on is how can you and me show love to other people that's maybe misled us or misused us, or who's brought us pain, or who's disappointed us time and time again? And the answer is we have to focus on the love that Jesus showed us. You see, this good Samaritan showed this man not only a little bit of love by rescuing him and letting him ride his own animal, but the Bible says that he bandaged him up and he took him to an inn and he said, listen, innkeeper, I want you to take care of this man, and anything that I'm not paying for right now, when I come back again, I'll make sure to make it right. In other words, I'll make sure that you don't lose anything by taking care of this man. This man, this good Samaritan, showed extravagant love, extravagant mercy. He showed what it truly meant to serve God. And he didn't stop at the bare necessities or the bare basics. He said, listen, I'm going to love you to the point, not only to the point that you're well, but I'm going to make sure that even some of your desires are met. Brothers and sisters, if we hold any grudges against people in our lives, if we won't let go of those certain pains, then what if we focus not only of what somebody did wrong to us, or what they keep doing wrong to us, or they didn't invite us to the party, or they hadn't called us in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 months. What if we focused on the extravagant love that God showed you and me when he sent his only begotten son down to this earth to die so that you and me could have life and life more abundantly? Then I promise you, Susie not talking to so-and-so at church or at the party's not that big of a deal. You see, the only way that this man was able to forgive the Levites, to forgive the clergy, to forgive the priests, to forgive people that worked in the church was because he focused on the love of somebody that showed him, that didn't have to show him any love at all. The Bible goes throughout and it talks about Samaritans don't have certain dealings with certain people. No doubt there was a problem back then, much like there is nowadays with racism. Or people thinking that if you are on a certain social status that you shouldn't talk to people of a lower social status. But this Samaritan was completely sold on the fact that he knew that love would bring this man back to life, that he knew that he could take care of this man in such a way that it would forever change his life. And that's what I want to encourage you and me with today. I want you to know that we've been like that man laying in the ditch where we lost all hope, when we knew if it wasn't for Jesus bringing us up out of that ditch, then we would go to hell forever. We would have nothing. Nobody would forgive us. Nobody would give us a second or third or fifth chance again. But I believe that when that man that was rescued by that Samaritan, when he saw the Levite next time, when he saw the priest next time, I believe he allowed love to so consume him that he was able to forgive. And that's the only thing that you and me can do today, is allow love to consume us. It's allow God to talk to us in such a way that the love will forgive a multitude of sins, that the love will forgive people in our lives that just don't see the truth yet. Yesterday, my dad got put in the hospital for a few hours because his blood was low. His hemoglobin had dropped significantly in a short period of time. So we go in and they're doing tests, and man, we were over in Murray County at the Advent ER hospital, I guess ER, and man, they were fabulous. I mean, you talk about the favor of God. They got him back there and everything going quickly. They had their scriptures on the wall in the emergency room. It's awesome. It was absolutely amazing. And as I sat there with my dad, and, you know, listening to the doctor, the nurses, and we were talking, the only thing that they could do at that point to help him, because his hemoglobin had dropped so much, was to obviously give him a blood transfusion, is to give him some more blood. And we were waiting for, I don't know, 30 minutes, an hour, just making sure the blood matched up, making sure that he was able to receive the blood that they have for him and all that. And obviously I'm sitting there and I'm researching and I'm looking, and he begins to, they bring the blood in and he begins to get it and it drips in slowly. And the doctor comes in, and one of my main questions that I have is why can't you just give him a lot of blood? Out of all the years I've spent in the medical field, I never understood why they can't just give people blood all the time, why it's such a big deal, until yesterday. The doctor was explaining to me, he was like, listen, Alan, the reason we can't just give him blood after blood after blood is we have to make sure that his system can accept the blood that we have. And the more times that we give him this blood, the better the possibility is that his system will reject it, because it'll develop antibodies. It'll develop these things that will fight against the blood. And instantly God takes me back and reminds me of the scripture. And he shows me that when you and I will sit in a position and we'll tell God what we need, then our body and our minds may fight against it, but if we'll yield to the Spirit of the living God, then God can transfuse us with the blood of Jesus. He can allow us to receive something that he that knew no sin became sin, so that you and I could be the righteousness of God. You see, if you and me can remember that we didn't deserve the goodness of God, that we didn't deserve the mercy of God, that we didn't deserve the loving kindness of God, if we can remember that, then we can be like that man that was in the ditch that got up again, and we can forgive people in our lives, because the overwhelming love of God, the overwhelming goodness of God, will outweigh any pain or adversity that you or me may face. Do you know what my dad had to do to receive this blood? He didn't have to get up and do 20 jumping jacks. He didn't have to run around the building. He didn't have to tell them time after time after time again that he needed this. He had to sit in a position of rest. They didn't want him moving around, jerking around. They didn't want him getting up and down. They wanted him to sit down and lay at a certain position and simply rest to receive. And that's my word today, brothers and sisters. If you're lacking anything in the spirit, if you're lacking anything in the physical, is that you and me have been like that man lying in the ditch. The man lying in the ditch could have told the Good Samaritan, no, thank you, let me die here. The man in the ditch could have told the Good Samaritan, I don't want your loving kindness. I don't want your healing power. I don't want what you have to offer. But the man laying in the ditch knew that if he wasn't rescued, he would die. And I know that if I wasn't rescued by the Savior, that I would die. You know that if you wasn't rescued by the Savior, then you would have died. So my dad sits there for roughly an hour, hour and 10 minutes to receive this blood. And what I found amazing about the whole situation, and God screaming at me the whole time, is they couldn't just dump the blood in his system quickly. It had to be released slowly over time, because that's how God has our bodies made, that when we receive something from the outside, it takes a little time to process it. It takes a little time to receive it. So brothers and sisters, if you're in that time of waiting, if you're in that time of rest, then I want to encourage you today to let you know that God's doing it. God's going to take that pain away. God's going to restore that marriage. God's going to restore your health. God's going to help you be like brand new. Because on the natural, you and me have the possibility for our bodies to reject certain blood, to reject certain things that the doctors may try to give us. But the great physician, our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when He decides it's time to dump something in our system, then there's absolutely no possibility that it will reject. It is a perfect match every time. The blood of Jesus is perfectly matched to your sin, to my sin. The blood of Jesus is perfectly matched to your iniquity, to my shortcomings, to my failures. And when we sit in a position of rest and allow that blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that's when we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's when you and I become a new person. That's when we can have a new attitude. That's when we can show people forgiveness that thought we were going to be mad. That's when we can show people love when they thought we were going to show them hate. In closing today, I thank God for that Good Samaritan. I thank God that Good Samaritan represented a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. But I think about that man that laid. The Bible doesn't tell me how long he laid in that ditch. The Bible just said he was a certain man. And I believe in this call today and that people that will hear this message, you're a certain kind of man. And you're a certain kind of woman. I believe that you're a certain kind of man and a certain kind of woman that the Savior of the world came and redeemed you. I believe that the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, it rests in your mortal body. You see, I believe some of the people in this call and that will hear this message are some of God's favorite people. Some of the people that I believe have the power, like Joshua, to tell that moon and that sun to stand still. You see, I want you to know today that you're chosen. I want you to know today that you're important. And it's okay that if you're in the ditch or if you're the Good Samaritan, both were used for the power of God. Both were used to show an example of love. Both were chosen to be used as an example of mercy and love and kindness. The man in the ditch and the man getting out of the Good Samaritan getting the man out of the ditch were both used to be part of the will of God. But I promise you, the only way you're going to let go, the only way that you're going to forgive people that maybe abused you as a child, maybe that's abusing you now, the only way that you're going to forgive maybe that person that put you in jail or prison or that keeps doing you wrong time and time and time again, the only way that you and me can forgive those people, and ultimately, to be honest with you, the only way that we can forgive ourselves is we have to look at the extravagant love that the Savior gave you and me. We have to look at the love, and the love will consume us to the point that hate can't reside in our bodies, that hate can't reside in our heart, that hate can't reside in our minds. I thank God for each person in this call and that will hear this message, but more than that, I thank God that I serve a Savior that'll give me a blood transfusion. And there's absolutely no way it won't take. That sometimes it may come slowly, sometimes it may come quickly, but that's the kind of God that you and me serve. We serve a good Father that will heal us and take care of us and strengthen us and love us right in our mess. You are that certain kind of person. The enemy screams at you all the time that you're not that important or you'll never do this or you're not your pastor or you're not the elder or you're not one of the leaders. But I'm telling you today, neither was that Samaritan. He was a normal person, so to speak. He was a person that saw someone in need and forever changed their course of history because love invaded their space. Will love invade your space today? I ask God today that love will invade all of our places. But I want us to focus on the love and mercy that's in our life, not the pain, because that is the only thing that will get rid of the pain. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you today. That God, I know it's a simple word, but Lord, I do thank you for the Good Samaritan. I do, God. But Lord, I know what it's like to have that kind of forgiveness, that you can forgive those people that threw you in the ditch, that you can forgive those people that robbed you, that you could forgive those people that took from you time and time again. God, I pray for that kind of mercy, that kind of extravagant love, that kind of grace, God. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray, Lord, today that I know the enemy screams at them that they're not a certain kind of person or they'll never be this or be that. But God, I say today that yes, you are. I call them great, God. I call them blessed. I call them highly favored in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, that my dad walked out of that hospital a couple hours later. And God, I prophesy to my brothers and sisters that they will walk out of that situation in the name of Jesus, that they'll show love where love's never been seen before, that they'll show mercy where mercy's never been seen before. God, I proclaim and I prophesy that their lives will win people to the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you will heal your people. I pray that you will keep us safe. And Yahweh, I thank you for everything that you do for us. I thank you for financial blessings and physical blessings. And I thank you that you are exactly who that you say that you are. You are good all by yourself. God, we hold you at a place of honor. We sing praises of hallelujah to you this morning. God, I thank you for every person in the ditch that got up. I'm that person. I thank you for every good Samaritan that reached out a helping hand. And most of all, I thank you, Savior, that you reached down and changed out blood with us today. We love you, God. We consider these things done by faith in you. And we say that they're so in Jesus' name. Amen.